Welcome to the Pethuel Project, a podcast that explores the library of scripture, person of Jesus, and how they apply to our lives. My name is Joel, and I'll be your host as we go through a series of audio reflections. My prayer is that you would understand and meet the person of Jesus in a real and tangible way. Welcome to the Pethuel Project. I want to say thank you for giving me your time. And this is going to be the inaugural episode where we're diving into the Library of Scripture, something that's very near and dear to my heart. And my hope is through these series of audio reflections that it will inspire in you a desire to learn and seek to understand this book we call the Bible that has shaped so much of history. And it can be quite intimidating. So it is my heart, to unpack this library of scripture. So specifically, I want to address the topic of anxiety and being anxious, because this is something that the Bible speaks directly to, specifically Jesus. And it's also something that I find is quite relevant today in Western secular culture. People are anxious. We're dealing with either quarantine or the uncertainty of career or schooling or life choices. And we're kind of stuck in this limbo, the uncertainty of being in between what was and what a post-COVID world would actually look like. And I'm finding that many are anxious. And in the Library of Scripture, there is a series of books called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this is the account of Jesus actually walking the earth. For those of you who don't know, the Bible actually comes from the Latin word Biblia, which means library. And there are 66 books divided into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And at the start of the New Testament is where we see the Gospels. Jesus, God incarnate, God putting on flesh and walking the earth and teaching us how to live. So Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, he's giving this speech, this homily to the crowds, and it's known as the Sermon on the Mount, one of his most famous sermons. And in Matthew 6:25, Jesus is speaking directly to the topic of anxiety. And I want to read what he says. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, which will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I find it so interesting that Jesus is commanding us to not be anxious. And you know, some of us might be, well, easier said than done. If I could stop being anxious, I just would stop being anxious. It's not that simple. And I'd like to explain a little bit about anxiety and how it works. There's a paradigm when it comes to our reality. there is anxiety is essentially two sides of the same coin. There's freedom on the one side, and then there is meaning on the other side. Now, the less freedom we have in life, the more meaning we have. And let me explain. So those of you might be married, or if you're not, you can at least envision the life of someone being married in that it restricts their freedom. And what I mean by that is if we're to honor the marital covenant, we're not going to go on other dates with people or sleep around or be promiscuous. We're going to honor the fidelity of the relationship. That is a decrease in freedom. Your commitment to your spouse, your partner, is limiting your freedom. But on the flip side, there is an increase in meaning in that when you're traveling and you're abroad and you're looking at your phone and you're FaceTiming your spouse, that person, there's that longing, that attachment, that understanding and assurance that when you come home, there's someone there for you who loves you and is equally committed to you. And that creates meaning. Similarly, those of you who are parents, you have a significantly decreased freedom. Your sleep schedule now rotates around that of your child. Or if you're a little bit older and they're in sports, your driving is geared around your child. But there is all this meaning added to your life that you are sowing into the next generation and raising a child. And that brings joy and life. Freedom and meaning are two sides of the same coin. And when we in the West operate in this abundance of freedom, we have this plethora of choice. You go to the grocery store and you can pick dozens of different types of toothpaste or shampoo. And even that of itself will cause this consumer anxiety, this choice anxiety. But this goes to so many different spheres of life. We have decided that we can choose anything, all the way to choosing things like gender, that we have this abundance of freedom to the point where our meaning in life has deteriorated. And Jesus, he so flips the script. Because when we look at how he started this section in chapter 6, verse 25, he says, "Therefore, I tell you." And now, anytime you see a therefore in scripture, you should always ask, what is it there for? Because he's tying this part of anxiety, of do not be anxious, onto something that he has just come out of. So if we're going to understand where Jesus is coming at on the topic of anxiety, we need to understand what he was saying before. So I want us to back up just a few verses to Matthew 6:19. And this is what he says. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." We have a choice. We can either trust God, believe who he says he is, and seek to understand his good and perfect will for our life. Or we can serve anything else. It's either God or not God. There's no in between. There's no gray area. It's either God or not God. And here Jesus, he says, you cannot serve God and money. And he presents the example of finances. And why finances? Well, money is such a means to control and security, or I should say rather the illusion of control and security. Money is, in a sense, a promise of a roof over our head, food in our stomach, clothing on our back. It is a great resource to so many things. But when we put our trust in money, we're essentially saying that, God, I got this. This is me. I'm going to work. I'm going to carry the burden myself. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep. He compares these things to the lilies of the field that are clothed in splendor, the birds of the air that are fed. And he says, how much more valuable are you as a child of God? There's this biblical concept called the Imago Dei, where we as people are made in the image of God, handcrafted with purpose and intentionality. It says in the Psalms, that's a series of poetry written predominantly by King David, but also a series of other poets and authors. But there is a section that says that you were crafted and knitted together in your mother's womb. I love that intentionality of craftsmanship. Paul, he writes in Ephesians, another letter to a church in Ephesus, it says that you are God's workmanship. The Greek word for workmanship is poema. We are his poetry. And how much more would God care for you, us? Now, when we understand how much God loves us and seeks our well-being, our natural response should be that of gratitude and thankfulness. And God, who am I to deserve this great love? And the reality is that we don't deserve it. All of us have fallen short. God is perfect, and he sets the standard so high. It is impossible for any of us to make this standard on our own merit. But the beautiful thing is that this was the whole point of Jesus. The gospel, the good news, is that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but through him may bring life and life to the fullest. See, Jesus came as a perfect sacrifice for the punishment that we were due for not being able to measure up. And when we trust in Jesus, he becomes what the Bible calls imputed righteousness, that is right standing before God. We receive the perfection that is Jesus, and we can enter into relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, what this means is that we are no longer our own. The Bible says that we were bought at a price, and therefore we must honor God with our bodies. Jesus said elsewhere in the Gospels, he said, "Whoever should follow me must pick up his cross and follow." Now, a cross in first century Palestine, Israel, the Roman Empire at large, was a symbol of horrific execution and torture. It was not a religious symbol. It was a symbol of execution and shame. And Jesus is saying that if you want to follow me, you need to understand that your life is hanging on the cross. You need to lay down your life. Whoever will lose his life will find it. Jesus said that when we lay down our life, this absolute surrender, we actually find life and life abundantly to the fullest, an overflowing of life. And in the ratio of meaning and freedom, this is actually a absolute surrendering of freedom. Zero freedom. I have no more freedom. I am absolutely 100% sold out in obedience to King Jesus. He says, jump, I say, how high? And with this comes an absolute overflowing abundance of meaning. this meaning and peace and assurance that surpasses all understanding, which brings this assurance that suffocates, chokes out any anxious thought, because it comes under the obedience of Christ. And we, in this absolute kingdom plot twist of a narrative, find this peace that allows us to be bright-eyed and steady-handed, no matter what the storms of life throw our way. So before I close, I'd like to say a prayer for you, for us, and thank God for, one, this technology that we can be exploring the Bible together through this means, and two, a blessing on your life. So God, I just thank you for the individual listening to the other end of this audio recording. God, you see them, you know them, you knit them together in their mother's womb. So God, I pray right now that you would comfort them. Cast out all fear and anxiety, Lord God. Bring the peace that surpasses understanding. That this is more than just first century biblical teaching, Lord God, but that this is truth that transcends time and eternity. God, that you love us, that you died for us, and that you are coming again for us. So God, I pray blessing, anointing, and perseverance, Lord, for anyone listening on this call. May your name be glorified in our lives. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Pethuel Project. If you like what you heard, feel free to give us a rating, or even better, share this with one of your friends. For more information, check out our website at pethuelproject.com or follow us on Instagram or Twitter at pethuelproject.